We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What a great story! What a great story, man. Talking about the Canes men's basketball team and a huge win at Duke. 9 straight wins now. Sam Wardenburg, the forward, joins us this morning. Sam, congratulations. Thanks for joining us this morning. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. Feeling good, you know. Lots of energy after that big win. Lots of fun.
Boy, I got to tell you, what is that like to go there, knowing how talented that team is? And it's hard to do. They're one of the top-ranked teams. At least they were. We'll see if they get knocked down a little bit and be able to get a tight win like that, 76-74.
No, for sure. You know, whenever you go to Cameron Indoor, you know what to expect. Those fans there, especially the students, the crazy, pre-game, when you're shooting and whatnot, they have like their own little scouting report on every single player, and they're just constantly talking. So, you know, when you're able to go out there and do what we did, you know, it's extra satisfying. We had a great game plan. Coach Al knows how to win against Duke, obviously, and he really set us up for success that one. And I'm just so proud of these guys, you know, going out there and executing and getting that win.
Sam, those kids have way too much time on their hands to do scouting reports and know all about you and stuff. Is it kind of funny when you hear them saying something about a family member or a girl or something? Or do you guys chuckle? Do you block it out? Or do you hear it and go, ah, that's kind of entertaining? What's your take on it?
I know, for sure. It's very entertaining. You could tell, like, every guy who shot in the on the corner close to the students, you know, you could see a big smile on the guy's face. And I think everyone on the team, it's something you really don't experience ever, but it's something nice. You always just got to laugh at it, you know?
So, Sam, what changed with this team? You got off to, you know, an okay start, and then all of a sudden you guys get some wins early. You're 5-0 in the ACC, and but you've got all these transfers, and guys, all of a sudden you're playing great together and winning all these games, 9 straight. What turned around for this team?
You know, I think the biggest emphasis we've had is just keep trusting one another, and that's something that we've continue to develop and continue to emphasize, is keeping that trust. Early on, didn't have the greatest start. You know, there was a couple games there that we definitely thought we should have won that we weren't able to. And I think, obviously, you know, the coach is making sure that the environment was really high and still positive. But I think something that was really good was that everyone on the, like, as players, everyone, we all got together and we understood, like, we have the talent. We have the, we have the veterans on this team. We have great new freshmen with lots of energy coming in. Like, we can't be down right now. And I think coming back from the Orlando tournament after our loss to Alabama, we had a day off, and all, like, we couldn't watch film as a team with the coaches, but all the players, we said, you know, tomorrow we're all going to go into the film room. We're going to watch that game back, and we're going to learn and get better from it. So that's something that's just been spectacular this season, that everyone's, you know, holding each other accountable, but there's also a lot of energy. And obviously with this win streak, there's no way there's anyone down or anything. You know, it's just such a, like, contagious environment. Everyone's having fun. There's so much energy. Everyone's getting in the gym. So right now, you know, playing with a lot of confidence, and I think that's going to help us, you know, have a successful season to go on.
Yeah, Sam, a lot of experience. I know that you said that, and I know you brought up a lot of the guys in that locker room. How much has that changed for the locker room when you have guys like that that have been around this program for a couple of years? And not just that, but guys transferring in that are 5-6 years into their college careers, too. These are guys that have been around this for a long time. Yeah. And then you mix in the young kids that are seeing all the older guys having fun. The dynamic in that locker room has got to be incredible at this point, especially now winning. But in the beginning of the season, like Joe said, when you were losing, to turn this whole thing around with the older crowd in that locker room.
No, yeah, it's great. You know, we definitely have a older team, and yeah, it's just that experience really does help in situations like this. And I think the young guys have done such an amazing job coming in. And you have a guy like Bensley Joseph, who's just you can tell he's a natural leader, and he brings so much energy. Wooga and Jakai as well, and they've just done an amazing job, especially our scout team, the guys on that. They've been doing an amazing job preparing us for these games as well. So, you know, the environment in that locker room is very fun right now. There's, again, like every day you're coming in, there's just so much energy, and it makes you kind of appreciate and love the game even more. It's really fun right now.
Hey, Sam, I want to ask you about the transfer portal, where you've had guys been on different teams, and all of a sudden they come in and, you know, they're obviously looking for a better situation. Does it take longer, you think, to come together when guys come through the transfer portal and have played at other Division I programs, or is it easier?
You know, it's kind of a bit of both. Obviously, whenever you're at a program, every program has their own, you know, values and the way they play and whatnot. So when you're coming to a new program, it takes a while to adjust to everything new and whatnot. And especially if you've been at a program for a while, like Jordan, being at JMU for 4 years, George Mason, sorry, for 4 years. He's obviously got that style of play embedded in him when he was coming in here. And so it took him a while to adjust the systems that Coach Al run here and the defensive style that he runs here. But, you know, both Jordan and Charlie, they're very high IQ. They understand the game of basketball, and, they've just done an amazing job so far just coming in, being great leaders, being great older guys for us, and, you know, really starting to show now, and they're getting comfortable. You know, Jordan, he's been playing amazing in this nine-game streak, and Charlie as well. You know, you can see that he's just like the natural leader out there. He's bringing everyone together, and you know, when it's time to go, he understands that, and he's really getting the job done right now. So full praise to those two. They've just done an amazing job.
Sam, 13-3, 5-0 in the ACC, a huge win against Duke, and FSU coming up next, man. It's just been a great start, and it's really good for you guys. I really appreciate you coming on this morning, Sam. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Sam Wardenburg joining us to talk a little bit about the Canes basketball team. What a surprise, man. What a surprise.
Great story. Great story.
These guys have really come together. And I don't care what anybody says, that transfer portal, that's tough, man. When guys have left another program and they're good players, and you always wonder when they come to a new program what they're expecting. Hey, I'm here because I want to be the leading dog. I want to be the lead dog. I want to get my points and my shots. And to come in and do it Coach L's way,
right.
Just been a hell of a story, man. McGusty, Miller, Moore, Wong, Isaiah Wong has been a nice story. So a lot of good stuff going on. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. 305-567-0560 as we continue on here this morning. And fortunately, a lot of it's been about the game yesterday. Big crowd there. A lot of New England Patriot fans, especially late when they scored a couple times. My God.
Foxborough South.
Wow. It got
like
loud. It felt 30 to 35,000-ish Patriot fans.
Jeez.
Is it really that bad?
It felt pretty heavy. I don't know what the number. Maybe it was 20, whatever.
But they went to crowd shots, and you saw a lot of Patriot jerseys. A lot of Patriot jerseys in the crowd.
Oh, they were getting loud too at the end there. They got in that little run and got that three and out and went down there. And you know, the one thing the defense didn't do was like, okay, now it's about time. Keep it underneath. And they gave up some big plays. Two big plays, one to a tight end and one to a wide receiver, and just big chunk of just set them up on a short field and able to score before Tua was able to make that run and close it out last night. But what a finish to that game. And, of course, with that now, we've been all over the board here today. But
hey, Joe, we have our first looks like two firings in the NFL.
What do you got?
Minnesota Vikings have fired Rick Spielman, the general manager, and Mike Zimmer, their head coach, is fired.
Yeah. They did a combination package there.
A little regime change in Minnesota, per Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
So yesterday I was watching NFL Network. They called Zimmer was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, yeah, we're expecting no matter what happens today, Zimmer's out. And so very disappointing there. But this thing's going to be a long way from over.
Yeah. Yes,
for
it is.
Coaches.
It's gonna be a long day today.
And GMs, probably going to be a few, including the mess in Jacksonville. And see what might happen there.
By the way, the Dolphins, you know how they send out that video every Monday where they have the elevator, they do the door of the elevator?
Yeah.
So today's has Tua, you know, given like the gun, you know, like he did yesterday, the little, like the wink and the gun thing. And the comments.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Below are intriguing. Yeah.
That's the word you came up with, intriguing.
I mean, like, what did they expect here? Like, someone, this is, like, I like this comment, I guess, one last time for old time's sake.
Oh, God. Welcome to the offseason. We're about 12 hours into it.
But nobody should be surprised.
Yeah.
This is going to have to get taken down in 3 months.
This thing was about, when this rebuild started, with all these high draft picks, it started with we have to, no matter what happens with all these picks, we have got to find a franchise quarterback. We have to. And we flat out whiffed. And I'm not even talking about Joe Burrow. And I know Barry Jackson got into the, well, if we would have just let Josh Rosen play, we would have had the first overall pick and we would have had Joe Burrow. And I was like, okay, so you tried to win games. I come from the school, try to win too. I'm with Coach on that. But you still had another guy fall in your place and became a two-man, like Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. One guy was a more polished throwing quarterback. But you put a lot of time into both of them, including spending time at a Senior Bowl with one while the other one was rehabbing with Dilfer somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
And you had first choice. That's the worst part of it.
And I can just tell you one thing. The Chargers aren't having this discussion. They're disappointed they didn't make the playoffs, but they're not having this discussion today about do we have our quarterback? What do we do? What's next? What do we do? Offensive line, well, we keep to it, but we gotta fix this thing up. It's got to get cleaned up in all these different positions. And how do we get in this position where we're looking at our offense today overall at every group and we're going, we got to upgrade just about everything. We got to upgrade everything. We don't have enough receivers. Only thing we're good at is tight end. I don't know if we're going to keep Gesicki.
Joe, the rebuild failed. That's basically how you throw it.
The defense
is good and maybe great. But the rebuild failed.
Here's the problem. The rebuild in the first three rounds is at about 50%.
And that's not a good percentage.
And that's not.
No.
Especially the first three picks of 2020.
Right.
Those are the ones that now, a lot of playing time for those, two of them. One guy hasn't played at all. But you have to go back and look at that group. And then you've got to go, like, do I trust anybody to go out and draft offensive linemen? Do I trust anybody? Anybody in the organization do I trust?
Not that's hired right now. No.
So that's kind of where you are right now with this whole thing. We got to go to break.
Can I read one more reply to the elevator door? This guy says, nothing screams 109 passing yards like a picture on an elevator door. Yeah. I like that one.
The elevator doors become very popular, right?
It has.
You're going, okay, they won a game. Who's going to be on this week?
Right.
What will it be?
Don't put X on the door. Put the bleep QB who held them all back.
By the way, how's X-Man?
X-Man, sure.
By the way,
right.
Listen, no. Right. Seriously, though, in fairness to the Dolphins, there's a lot of people that commented on this that have, like, pictures of Dolphin players or Tua as their profile picture that like Tua.
Right.
He's very popular.
It's not, no, it's, I mean, it's not like a bloodbath.
He is still very popular. Yeah, I sat out and talked to a family that parked next to me for probably 40 or 45 minutes, listened to our show. And I asked every one of them, I go, what do you – and they were, I would say, 5 out of 6 guys who were there and one woman, and they were all Tua. We got to get more for Tua. No, no, Tua's fine. And I was looking at them like, I mean, I wasn't being rude. They were very nice people, and they cared about the team. But I was like, I want to go, what have you seen the last couple of weeks? What have you seen? And the other one is, Tua, please, if you're listening, please don't talk about that you got to learn how to throw in cool weather and cold weather. Don't do that. You're going to go spend time with your brother and all that. I mean, if you want to do that, great. You want to go see your brother in Maryland, and it is cold up there, and he can go out and they can work out together. But don't go around telling everybody that. About. And by the way, before you draft a guy, isn't that something you consider
when you're
part of the AFC East?
You think he should post like an Instagram video this week of him throwing in like a snowstorm in like Canada or something?
That'd be hilarious.
Hey, Joe, we got another one.
What else you get?
Adam Schefter, Bears are fired. Matt Nagy this morning, per source.
Oh, man.
That was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I know that.
That'd have been on the list.
It's 9-19, and it's happening.
Nobody's messing around.
That's right.
You've been waiting for that. You've been waiting the whole time.
How's he going to buy peanuts without
what'd you say?
Peanuts.
Say it again real fast.
Real
fast. How's he going to buy without his coaching job?
Yeah. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Nuts. You're too much, man. You're too much. All right, we got to go to break here. I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Man, we got one hot SUV family to tell you about. Oh, boy, whether it's the small SUVs, those mid-sized SUVs are the big boys. The new Tahoes and Suburbans got a new look, more space. Oh, my gosh, everybody's raving about it, especially got the big family. And space is important to you like it is me. I love my Tahoe. Don't ever want to give my Tahoe up. Nope, I'm going to end up retiring with myself having a nice, big, comfortable Tahoe. And listen, if you like big SUVs, you're going to be blown away at the Tahoes and Suburbans. But I got to tell you, our midsize SUV, that new Traverse, again, I don't know if all midsize SUVs have this much space, but that Traverse has got plenty for you and that growing family of yours. And our smaller SUVs, like the new Trailblazer, just bought myself one. Couldn't believe the space. Couldn't believe it. And so much fun to drive. The Blazer, the Equinox. And then all the Silverado trucks. Man, we got trucks, durable, strong. Silverado trucks, perfect for your lifestyle right now. Whether you're working out of that truck 7 days a week or you still need it for the family, we got the perfect truck for you. And then Corvettes and Camaro, still sexy. Hey, listen, these are the best overall products we've ever had. I've been telling you this for a long time. Go find out for yourself. We've got convenient locations everywhere. Dade, Broward, even Monroe County. Find new roads and fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
All right, Woody, enough. All right, you being a three-year-old, man. I know what you're trying to do there, penis head. It's funny. It's real funny today. It's so fun seeing you so immature. It's actually very funny.
To say that, by the
way. Hey, by the way, what do we got today, man? What's the financial report look like?
Well, the reason I played this is I was hoping to get people a laugh before I had to deliver the news here. It's time for a look at the opening bell on Wall Street. Sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Every futures right now is bright red, very red, and the market opens in about 3 minutes from now. So brace for
impact.
Things
can change.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for a long time, and it just every day seems to be worse than the one before. One of these days is going to turn around.
Don't
though.
Live and die with the market every day. Yeah. It'll put you in a funky place.
That's right.
Well, the difference is I don't have as much as you, so like when my account goes down, I tend to notice it more.
Yeah, it only took 3.5 hours for that.
Don't worry.
To pop
when mine goes down, I notice too. Smart ass. Don't worry. I feel it too.
What is it?
There I go, honey. There goes your house in North Carolina.
That's right.
That's done.
I hope you love South
Call
Florida.
My son now. See if he can help us. Help us.
Listen, in fairness, that stings me too because I was planning on using that house.
I know you were. Don't worry.
I'm a big North Carolina fan, so I was planning on getting up there.
I don't want to tell the family in California I'm done with them out there. Lake Tahoe, I don't want to do that yet.
Why don't you just do both?
Oh, yeah.
That way I can ski during the ski season and
well,
go
we
to
want to make sure
North
you
Carolina
and the family
the
are
summer.
Make sure you and the family are very, very happy.
As long
we'll,
as Holly's taken
work
care
on
of, we're
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Well, listen, it's the bloodbath has started this morning. And,
which one, the NFL one or the financial one?
No, the NFL.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the NFL. Okay. I got back to sports here.
Did you?
A little bit with everything going on.
So the Vikings need a new coach and a general manager. Chicago needs a new head coach and general manager, I'm assuming, later by the end of the day. The Ryan Pace situation is going to be done there also. And Denver looking for a new head coach. That's to start off your Monday morning, basically, before 9:30 a.m.
I have never heard. So I got up yesterday morning, turned it on. And, we got breaking news. You know, shoot, who got fired? So it was Vic Fangio. And they said so many nice things about him, the team. I swear to God, I was like, did he just get an extension? Or get fired. Oh, this guy worked his butt off. He just gave us everything he had. He made us better. And I was like, geez, man. This is a hell of a stroke job for getting ready to fire a guy. It was kind of crazy yesterday.
Very interesting. Who do you think's next? Who do you think's up there that's not going to keep their job today, by the way, NFL-wise?
Oh, I think the general manager in Jacksonville.
Yep, he'll be out.
I just think PR-wise he's got to go. You know, he's in big trouble.
Yeah, he's got to be up there at one of these. But I'm wondering if there's going to be any surprises today. You're not surprised by what's happened so far?
No.
Doesn't
Denver,
Indianapolis
Chicago.
Have to fire everyone that works there, too?
No.
Well, no,
that's
but
that could be
sucked,
the worst.
Man. Yeah.
Let's think about this for a second. That could be the worst loss. It's got to be in the top 10 in NFL history.
The crazy thing about that is Carson Wentz ended up having a pretty good year.
Yeah,
it was a win and get in game.
Right,
number one.
And you couldn't handpick somebody. You couldn't handpick too many teams,
bro. The theme of the game was a clown out. It was a clown out. We've never even seen that before. And you go up there, and not only do you lose, but you get blown out.
Yeah.
Like, how does someone not lose their job for that one?
I don't know.
That's got to be in the top 10 worst losses in league history. It right. just has to
be.
No one's ever lost during a clown out. I wonder what Indianapolis radio is doing this morning.
Oh, it's a terrible loss.
And okay, hold on. We have breaking news, and this is breaking news that we need to jump on. Adam Schefter has just tweeted out that Brian Flores has been fired as Dolphins head coach. Sources tell ESPN, Brian Flores is out as the Miami Dolphins head coach.
Wow. That is.
That just popped out from Adam Schefter's Twitter handle. Let me make sure that this is not the fake one. It is not. Brian Flores out as Dolphins head coach, sources tell ESPN. Wow. I am convincingly shocked right now.
You know who they're going to get now.
Yep.
Holy moly.
This is going to be Harbaugh.
I got to be honest with you. I was surprised. So, Chris Greer is going to make the cut.
Wait, no.
What?
They're not going to keep Greer and fire Flores.
No chance. They got
to
fire Greer.
They have to. I mean, Greer has to go.
They have to.
Right? I mean, how could you keep?
I am actually surprised. Two winning seasons that Brian Flores was let go. They played their butts off for him yesterday. Huh.
Mike Florio has just tweeted out Stephen Ross has lost his damn mind.
Well, wow. I mean, you know which direction this is screaming.
This is Jim Harbaugh. It's got it written all over it.
It has to be.
I cannot believe this has Harbaugh written all over it.
I cannot believe this. I'm shocked. I had to check it twice.
The question is,
I
actually like the style of defense. I hope we were able to keep it since guys around the style that he wanted to play. And now we got to find out if the general manager is safe or not. But I am really.
If Flores was fired, Joe, there's no way Chris Greer keeps his job. You have to start all over. You can't keep Chris Greer again. You kept him when you fired Adam. And you kept him and made him the guy. And now, this is just crazy. And also, Ryan Pace has just been fired also by Chicago.
Wow.
It is happening fast and furious.
I did not, guys. I got to tell you that.
I'm shocked.
Surprised me that Brian Flores was let go. That.
Wow.
That is. And everybody thought everything was good when they left yesterday, going, wow, we just beat the Patriots for a second time this year.
Yep.
There's no way they'll let Brian Flores go. And
well, they're quick on firing coaches, man.
10-6, yep. 9-8, no playoffs in his 3 years. And
there's no way this doesn't have the sniff of Harbaugh all over it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah,
do they just keep it. Chris then, basically, because Chris is...
God, no.
But Chris is one of those coach-friendly GMs that'll do probably whatever Harbaugh says anyway, so...
He is.
You just keep him?
He is. That's, by the way, a great call by you. What'd you say that, friendly?
Coach-friendly?
Coach-friendly, yeah. Yes. Very coach-friendly. He won't draft guys if you don't like them.
Wow.
Huh. So you think...
Okay, Jeff Darlington just tweeted out as the Dolphins part ways with Brian Flores, another important note per source. Chris Greer will remain with the organization. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
This has to be one of the dumbest things I've seen the Dolphins do.
He is going to get a hall pass on...
I cannot believe
on
this.
One of the biggest whiffs at that quarterback position in the history of the franchise. It will always be tied to him, and he's going to keep his friggin' job. Wow.
Why is like Flores out there? I mean, it just makes no sense.
Harbaugh. That's why.
Unless you have the deal locked up, but...
Look who's the owner of this team. Michigan.
I would love somebody from the organization to come on this show and tell me how good they think that 2020 draft's been that he was in charge of with 3 first-round picks. I would love to know. I'd love to hear the grade on that. I really would. And overall, that we're just going to let it go.
Ian Rapoport said the same thing. Greer staying as GM.
Oh, no, they've already put the word out
there. I cannot believe this. I'm shocked.
A lot of shocking reaction from people on Twitter as well. Like, the main names are a little bit surprised on this one.
Huh. Boy, I did not think Brian Flores was getting fired. He didn't throw a 6-10 in there. He went 10-6, 9-8.
Yeah, it's officially out from the Miami Dolphins. Statement has come out from the Dolphins organization on their official Twitter page. Miami Dolphins announced today the head coach Brian Flores has been relieved of his duties. Flores completed his third season as head coach, 24-25 record. I made a decision today to part ways with Brian Flores, said Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, after evaluating where as an organization and what we need going forward to improve and determine the key dynamics of our football organization weren't functioning at a level I wanted to be and felt like this decision was in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins. I believe we have a talented young roster in place and have the opportunity to be much better in 2022. I want to thank Brian for his hard work. Wish him nothing but the best in his future.
Well, that's nice things to say, but I would ask everybody in that organization, how good is this offense? That I go right back to how good is this Miami Dolphin offense, full of guys on the offensive line that have been drafted over the last 2 years, and the quarterback. Quarterback, this thing was all about a franchise quarterback. And Chris Greer made the cut.
I can't believe that. I cannot believe that.
Chris Greer made the cut. And they made sure it got out to all the people, and Jeff's very well connected to the organization, Jeff Darlington. Right. That, and by the way, like Brian Flores is out, but Chris Greer's good.
Right, right.
I'm not saying it's bad. There's a lot of good players he got this year. But this thing was about one position specifically and all those picks that we had to get and do whatever we needed to do to get a guy. And there's been a few good ones. And the one that we didn't have to do anything crazy is just take is Justin Herbert. So we just going to blame that on Brian Flores?
This is shocking to me.
Wow.
Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, Dolphins coach Brian Flores was a significant reason why Deshaun Watson wanted to be in Miami. With Flores out, the situation might have changed.
Huh.
I mean, you can only imagine social media right now.
Yeah. Wow. Did not see the Brian Flores one coming. Not that I was going around asking.
Head coach for this team since 2015 will be announced when they do. Fourth since 2015.
You think they have a deal with Harbaugh done already, right?
I think the talks have happened.
They must.
Nobody is closer
right
to Coach Harbaugh than Mr. Ross and the Miami Dolphins due to the fact in the relationship between Michigan. The joke is Stephen Ross has got two teams, Michigan football and Miami Dolphins. So, wow. Apparently, blaming Brian Flores for all this stuff with
right, that's exactly what's happened here.
Coaching
right?
guys, I mean, and apparently they felt those guys should have been better.
Armando tweeted out, "I believe GM Chris Greer, who has blown more picks and salary cap resources, should go as well."
Yeah,
but that's not happening.
No. He was safe. I told you guys the other day. I felt like talking to everybody. Like, yeah, this is not Chris. That. All right, Chris gets a hall pass because he's a good guy.
Great.
That's great.
A good guy who can't do his job well.
Yeah, one job, get a quarterback.
I cannot believe that Chris, it's one thing to blow them both out. If you're going to start all over and blow them both out. It's another thing to keep maybe what kept that locker room together during that 7-game losing streak in Brian Flores and keep the guy around who blew the 2020 draft in free agency for the last 2 years.
I think
this is an idiotic move by this organization.
This story has kind of jumped ahead of all the other coaches that struggled this year.
All over.
Now it's turned into Brian Flores. 24-25 record in 3 seasons. No playoff appearances, obviously. And all the other stuff. I like Coach Flores. I didn't get to spend very much time with him the last 2 years because of the circumstances.
This move is not going over well. Even Dave Portnoy said the move was so dumb.
That he loves it. He says he's so dumb he loves it. Right. I see it. So Darlington just tweeted out one more thing. Let me read it to you. It says, while I realize many are assuming Flores' departure is tied to Harbaugh's potential availability, I can assure you that's not the case. Dolphins are not targeting Jim Harbaugh per sources. The decision to fire Flores is entirely independent.
By the way, he's got the best sources in the business with this team.
I know. I get it. Now that he said that.
I'm surprised by that, too. I thought this was Harbaugh-driven. I did.
Let me ask you a question. If it's not Harbaugh, what coach, and I know there's very few openings, right? What coach would look at this and say, this is a really appealing opportunity?
A lot of guys.
You got a GM who's, seat couldn't be hotter. You got a quarterback situation that's kind of a mess. You got a lot of holes on this team. Like,
so you want to go back? Why?
I know there's not a lot of openings. Jobs, I get it. Yeah. I get it. But also the Dolphins are now going to be known as the team that fires their coach every 2 years.
Yes.
Right. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
By the way, you don't go around
since 15.
You don't go around firing. If you think your team's good or close, you don't go around firing people. You just don't. You don't do it. And obviously, I don't know the relationship, and I don't know if Coach Flores became over the top on who he wanted and this and that and all the things that have happened with this team. But there's no way the general manager can get a total hall pass on this. If we do this, we have some really questionable people running this friggin' thing.
If he keeps his job, he got his hall pass that we've been talking about. And not only did he get it, but he got it probably for another year.
Oh, I believe Chris Greer is safe.
Michael Lombardi just tweeted out, Flores is gone and the GM stays, even though he picked two over Herbert. It makes no sense.
Right.
That's exactly what we were just talking about.
Well, there's always been a lot of debate on whose pick Tua was.
There's only one guy on the pick.
Right.
It's only one guy.
That's it.
There's one guy that's got general managers. No VP of football operations. One guy at the end. And by the way, if Coach Flores said, I think I like Tua more than this big, tall, talented kid from Oregon. If he would have said that, that's where your GM says, no, we're taking this big, tall, talented kid and we're going to develop him. We're going to get a really good quarterback coach. And we're going to help him get the most out of this. We're going to go out there a little bit on a limb and do it instead of take the safe pick with all the talent around him. We got to go to break here. We've got a lot of news coming in here. Did not see that one. Brian Flores, after 3 years, has been fired as a head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. All right, let's go right to him. Man, he's breaking news. Jeff Darlington from ESPN, very well connected to the Miami Dolphins, if he doesn't mind me saying that on his behalf. And we find out Brian Flores is now the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. As we say good morning, and Jeff, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Did it surprise you at all that Brian Flores was let go?
I understand why many are surprised. I'm not necessarily. I think it's important to point out that the Dolphins did a very good job this year of keeping a lot of their issues in-house, and sometimes that leads to surprises because people aren't necessarily privy to some of the dysfunction that exists within the organization. But it was there. The fit with Brian Flores had deteriorated. Their relationships with Chris Greer and Tua Tagovailoa had gotten to the point where non-existent might be a strong word, but certainly not functional. So while it absolutely is a surprise that a coach who seemingly got his players to fight toward the end of the season is out, to those within the organization, maybe not so much.
So I'm trying to figure out, is Chris more of a Tua fan or Brian Flores was more of a Tua Tagovailoa fan?
Well, I don't necessarily know where Chris Greer stands on Tua in terms of his future and whether he believes that he can be the franchise quarterback in Miami. I did not get the sense from pretty early on that Flores was necessarily a big Tua guy. I had mentioned this a few times during the season, and I think it's something that fans have a difficult time digesting, especially when all the Deshaun Watson situation was ongoing and a lot of fans didn't necessarily want to believe it because Flores was coming out and saying the things he was publicly. But Flores generally was driving that train. Flores was generally the guy who most liked the idea of pursuing Deshaun Watson. So, you know, take that for what it's worth and what that means to Brian Flores' opinion of Tua Tagovailoa. While a difficult pill for Dolphins fans to swallow, it is, in fact, the truth.
So, Jeff, you said that Chris Greer is going to keep his job, or it looks like he might keep his job per sources.
Yes, he is.
How does he keep his job with everything that's went on the last 2 years with this rebuild and knowing that the top two priorities were finding a franchise quarterback and fixing the offensive line, and they haven't seemed to do either one?
So I don't know the answer to that. Unfortunately, I can't. I can only tell you that the Dolphins continue to believe that Chris Greer is the right fit in his role. I understand what that comes with in terms of the eye rolls from Dolphins fans. That's all I can tell you. I can tell you that, you know, to me, it is a fascinating situation from the standpoint that Greer has survived so many regime changes, so many coaching changes. I get it. I understand why that is such a question. It doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense to me either. That being said, there's people making these decisions that ultimately believe that he will get this team where it needs to go.
So I just want to follow up on that because he's a good guy. Oh, he's such a good guy. Chris Greer is such a good guy. It's a big business. He's a good guy. I'm sick of hearing about Chris Greer is a good guy. I've had it. Yeah. And people in positions. And so I just want to say this because I heard this from Chris to me. He goes, I will never take a guy if my head coach doesn't want him because I don't want to fight. I want to be on the same page. I want to find him something that he likes. Well, if it was a quarterback, Chris, and you clearly like Justin Herbert more, and somebody was fighting you on it, you're going, no, it's my job is to find the friggin' franchise quarterback.
And I don't want to go too far. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I don't want to go too far with what I say, but it is interesting. I mean, Greer and Flores definitely drove the train on Tua. It was, I mean, like when I say that Flores was interested in bringing on Deshaun Watson, that's not to also, and this is not, I'm not trying to exonerate Greer here at all. I'm not, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm really more just trying to play the reporter role. But what it is important to note is that just because Greer was interested in, or Flores was interested in Watson, doesn't mean that Flores wasn't part of drafting Tua. Let's not, definitely don't take Tua and just put that all on Greer. That was Flores too. And by the way, I totally get this. Again, I'm not trying to be here. I'm trying to play the reporter here and not pick sides when it comes to Greer or Flores or who deserves more blame. But Greer, definitely, I can just tell you as a matter of fact, Greer is one of those guys, like you said, he constantly tries to appease the head coach. In this case, what's most interesting to me is he seemed to be constantly doing that. So how did all of a sudden the relationship between Greer and Flores deteriorate to the point where it could no longer exist? That is like, that's a pretty fascinating element to me.
Yeah, it's this.
Jeff, you shot down the Harbaugh stuff pretty quickly on social media too, or at least sources had told you that, because that's the first thing that came to mind when I said it to Joe on the air. This just happened.
Right.
It's the Harbaugh situation. What happened there? What'd you hear? Or what's the deal with him at least?
Steve Ross, don't forget, I mean, one of his great allegiances is to the University of Michigan. I mean, I'm not saying that he puts it number one over the Dolphins, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, that is where his heart lies. He's not going to be the guy to take Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. It's not going to happen. I know a lot of people just assumed that when Flores was out that the Dolphins had somebody lined up. Maybe they do. I don't know, but it's not Harbaugh. I can tell you that 100%.
What's your take on Tua now that what we've seen the last 3 weeks hasn't been very good? So I'm just curious what's your take?
I mean, it's a pretty, like, there was a pretty painful day there if you're a Dolphins fan, where I don't even know that it was absorbed by Dolphins fans necessarily, but like, I understand that there's an ardent support for Tua, but when you see, for instance, Justin Herbert playing as he does, even though eliminated from the playoffs, but when you also see Tua sort of struggling, and on the same day, take the Herbert thing out of the equation. I mean, 2019, playing the Bengals, when you see Joe Burrow playing the way he's playing, I mean, that's a painful thing to bring up, but you kind of have to. I mean, all Flores had to do was just put Josh Rosen in the game and say, we got to see what he looks like.
Right, he's got all year.
Find out what Josh Rosen
is.
Do you honestly think, is anybody talking about the Cincinnati Bengals right now with Joe Burrow saying, man, but you know what? They got him through a lack of integrity. They lost that game and didn't try to win it. No one gives a damn anymore. Everybody moves on from that. All they had to do, the Dolphins were a terrible team that certainly deserved the number one overall pick. All they had to do was put Josh Rosen in the game, say, we got to see what we have in him. They likely lose that game, and the franchise has changed forever. So, like, I know I'm segueing here. It's just, I'm not putting that on Flores. The guy was trying to win the game. It's just got to be so painful for a Dolphins fan to see these little steps along the way, that one little thing changes, and so too does the whole organization. What is Tua? I don't know. Does anybody know? And if we don't know, that's a significant issue.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So, if I was a GM, I'd just say this, man. Hey, guys, I appreciate you guys are the head coach and you guys are the coordinators and stuff. I'm picking final say. If we disagree, I'm using the GM card. I'm not doing that because my ass is going to be on the line no matter how good a guy I am. I'd rather be a jerk to you guys.
There you go.
I think that's got to happen. Look, man, like, and that's what's interesting about this situation too, because when Flores came in, it was all about his leadership, and it was all about, he felt like, you know, compared to Gase, it was just a very different dynamic in terms, and like, you know, that stuff kind of goes away pretty quick if a guy comes in and tries to, you know, don't forget about the revolving door that was his staff. I mean, how many offensive coordinators? Four total under his regime. How many offensive line coaches did he go through?
O-line, that was close. I was going to say, I was trying to figure out if it was more coordinators or O-line coaches.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to justify the decision to retain Greer, but I certainly can justify the decision to fire Flores.
Yeah.
I know it's a surprise to many people, but when you really break it down and you look at it, I mean, there were a lot of things going on there.
Jeff, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you.
Hey, what's the pulse? What do you think what's the fan base thinking on us?
I think a lot of people are disappointed Chris Greer is still here.
Yep.
Yeah. You think it's less about Flores and more about Greer retained?
Yes. I do.
Yeah.
If you're going to get rid of one, Jeff, you get rid of both at this point if it's that big of a bleep show. That's why.
Anyway. Yeah. Right. It just counts down like all these high draft picks we've had. Do we do enough with it? That's all. You know, Jeff, it goes. We've had 5 1s the last two years, 4 2s, a whole bunch of 3s. Do we get enough? Did we get enough? And who's calling final shot there, which is obviously counts on who you're talking
to. Good question.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, brother. Really appreciate you finding time.
Thanks, Bangy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sure.
Jeff Darlington with us this morning. That's going to do it for the show.
What a way to end, huh?
Man.
Jeez.
Let's do another hour. Hey.
Let's do it.
I'll do it. Have a great day, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.